Getting engaged is a moment worth cherishing. A one-of-a-kind ring that you design at Blue Nile can help your love sparkle. Just choose your diamond and setting. When you've found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Finding the right engagement ring can be nerve-wracking. At Blue Nile, you'll have the expert guidance needed and a diamond guarantee that ensures you're getting the highest quality at the best price. Cherish all of life's moments and save up to 30% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
Good evening and welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Los Angeles, with me always is the best Raiders content creator out there. Ryan Holmes, what's going on, Ryan?
Not much. How are you doing?
Not
good
bad.
To be back on the show.
Hey, not bad. Now, we're going to get to the Aaron Rodgers thing first. It looks as though the Raiders are out on Rodgers because of his price. How do you stand on him before you found out that he probably won't end up in Vegas?
I always thought it would be a difficult proposition for Vegas to bring him in. I would have only done it with him committing to at least 2 years, because you just don't want to give up the assets it would take to get him, high draft picks, the salary cap space, the cash, pay him the money it's going to take, and then have him a year from now kind of go into this retreat thing again where he's talking about retiring. And it reminds me of when Brett Favre was leaving the Packers and then worked his way to the Vikings and the Jets, and it was kind of like every year he was telling the Packers he didn't know what he was going to do. And at some point, those teams get tired of that. And Aaron Rodgers is 39 years old. He's not getting any younger. And yeah, I'd love to have him in a Raiders uniform and play for a year or two. But like to actually go out and acquire him and give up numerous draft picks, probably, I don't know if it would take a first, but it'd take at least a second and maybe something else. With where this roster is right now, I just don't think it makes a ton of sense. So, it's good to hear Ziegler and McDaniels talk about probably not going that route and looking into acquiring a younger quarterback, someone to build the team around. I know Josh McDaniels referenced how the Chiefs have done it, how the Chargers have done it within the division. He mentioned within the AFC as well, because it's an arms race. The AFC is absolutely an arms race. All these teams have young quarterbacks they've built their teams around. A lot of them are still on rookie contracts, whereas in the NFC, it's kind of not a lot of quarterbacks over there other than maybe Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott. Especially if Aaron Rodgers leaves the NFC, all the teams in the AFC are loaded. So the Raiders need to find a foundational piece that can bring in a quarterback and build this roster around that player. I know it's hard to hear that because the Raiders just traded for Davante Adams and brought him in and he's getting older, but that's the right thing to do with the way this team is built right now.
Now, for me, it is smart, and I believe that McDaniels and Ziegler have taken a little more heat than they should have. Now, if we look outside of the Raider bubble, the former quarterback apparently is at the combine shopping himself to other teams. Now, pessimism would say if folks valued him that much, he wouldn't have to shop himself. It's like going to an expensive place. You don't ask what the price is.
Yeah, it's it. When I heard that, and there's only been three teams that have come out. You know, the original report was, you know, 10 teams are going to be interested in him. He's going to have this grandiose market. I never believed that. And now you're seeing, you know, the Saints are the only team that really brought him in before he was released. Now it's the Saints, Jets, and Panthers. And for him to go to the combine and basically sell himself, as you said, that happens like in Major League Baseball. When a guy's a free agent, he goes to the winter meetings, gets in front of teams when he's not getting the contract offers he wanted and kind of shop himself. Tells me the market's not there that he thought he was going to get for a dollar value or the length of the contract. That he's trying to push up his value and get as many teams involved because, let's be honest, if the Saints or the Jets offered him the contract he wanted, he would probably already be with one of those two teams. And to me, the fact that he's still out there, and I know they're going to spin it, he's looking for the right organization. Derek Carr's looking to make the money that he just walked away from. I know people want to say that he's not, but Derek Carr never cut the Raiders a break when it came to his contract. He got the highest contract ever on his first extension. He wanted $40+ million on the last extension that didn't work out. He's never gone to the Raiders and restructured his contract to open up cap space like other players have done. So I know everyone says it's not about the money. I believe this is absolutely about the money. He walked away from $35 million in cash for next season. He's looking to recoup that, and he hasn't gotten that offer yet from any team.
Looking back on it, Carr is about to turn 32. Do you think that somehow in the recesses of his mind and his agent's mind that they made a very big mistake?
I don't think they think they made a big mistake because obviously if a team was willing to pay him, you know, $35 to $40 million, there would have been a lot more trade interest in him. But teams, if there was four teams that wanted to give him that contract, they would have been lining up and the trade would have happened if Carr would have signed off on it. But we never got to that point because teams weren't willing to go that route and pay that money for him. So I don't think that they made a mistake by not trying to open up the trade market because there was no interest in him with the contract he currently had. They're trying to do the best they can now to save face. This is probably going to come down to a 3 or 4 year deal that the new team is going to be able to get out of fairly quickly, similar to the extension he signed with the Raiders. And he's basically going to be playing year to year going forward. And he's going to have success pretty quickly. We might be looking at a guy who's going to be a journeyman over the next 3, 4, or 5 years, unless he wins right away in the new place he's going to. The Jets to me makes sense. But if the Jets don't win next year, that coaching staff's out. He's probably out because their ownership's not going to commit a ton of money and guaranteed money and lock him down for 3, 4, or 5 years, not knowing how they're going to handle the coaching staff moving forward. So he's probably looking at a contract that's basically, when you boil it down, is going to be a one-year deal wherever he goes.
Now, moving on to running back, if you look at the market value for various free agent running backs, Saquon Barkley, It hangs around that $12 million mark. Josh Jacobs will possibly make in the room of that one. If you're the Raiders, looking at the fact of signing him, would you clean out the back end of that running back room and keep Jacobs, but also put other backs around him that maybe complement him a little bit better?
It's gonna be interesting to see how they approach the running back room going into next year. I fully expect Josh Jacobs to be back. Whether that's on the franchise tag or a multi-year deal, I always use the Nick Chubb contract. It was 13, I think 3 years, $36 million. So a little over $12 million a year. Like if they Raiders and Jacobs can find a middle ground around those numbers, I think a deal gets done. I don't think the Raiders are gonna approach $15 or $16 million on an annual average value. That say Kamara and McCaffrey are getting. Now, the running back room, assuming Jacobs comes back, Zamir White's coming back. He was a fourth-round pick. He was a rookie. They invested heavily in him. He's going to make the roster. So now the question is, do you carry three backs? So is there one more guy, or is it going to be four? And I don't think Bolden's going to come back. You know, Abdullah could come back as that third down back. And then the question becomes Britton Brown, what do you do with him? They carried him on the roster as a fifth running back and he didn't play last year other than a couple of games on special teams. This roster isn't good enough to afford the luxury of having that happen again. So he's going to have to win a backup job and have a role, whether that's on special teams, whether that's the third down back, whether that's the backup running back. So he's probably going to be fighting for a roster spot with whoever they bring in. But I don't think the Raiders, especially with how much they used Jacobs last year, can go into next year and carry five running backs. So I think Britton Brown's the one that might be in trouble here.
According to SpotTrack, they have a guy like Deontay Foreman who is going to be 27 when the season starts at about, I want to say, $3 million-ish. Is that something that you could possibly see as a backup to Josh Jacobs?
No, I think Zamir White's going to be the backup. The Raiders aren't going to spend money to bring Jacobs back on a $10-plus million deal and then bring in a free agent and pay him $3 million. So if they're going to go Jacobs and White, and they'll figure out who the third down back is going to be, who's probably going to be playing on a league minimum contract or another rookie.
When we come back from break, I want to discuss the wide receivers and the other positions around the field. You are listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on the FPC Radio Network.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back with FPC Full Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Ryan Holmes. Ryan, when we look at receiver position, we know what the Raiders have in Davante Adams. They know what they have in Hunter Renfrow. The other side of it, if you are the Raiders, do you go veteran or do you go rookie with like a second rounder or something?
Yeah, if I was the Raiders, I would probably try to find a veteran who has some familiarity with the system, who's a good route runner. They don't necessarily – I don't think they can go afford the explosive outside vertical receiver, because those guys, there's not a lot of them, and they're going to cost a lot of money in free agency, and this team needs to build up the offensive and defensive lines and pretty much every position on defense. So it'd be a luxury to go get another receiver when you have Darren Waller at tight end, you have Davante Adams, you have Hunter Renfrow. So I think it's going to be another try to find some guy, another Matt Collins, another guy that offers special teams value that you can fit in. I know that I've seen them linked to Jacoby Myers. I don't think the Raiders are going to be in the market to pay a receiver over $10 million, $12 million a year. They just don't have that kind of capability right now because they really need to build up the defense. So I really think they're going to go try to find a veteran. Maybe a guy who's coming off injury that they're going to roll the dice on a one-year deal. But I don't think they're going to spend a lot of capital in the wide receiver room. And I definitely don't expect them to spend a first or second round draft pick on a wide receiver.
As someone who follows the draft as closely as you do, are there any wide receivers that could possibly catch your eye if you're the Raiders and would make a decent fit?
I haven't got into the wide receiver room down into where I would take one. In the fourth, fifth, sixth round type range. We'll know a lot more after the combine and after pro days on some of these guys when we get their real speed numbers. I think that's the big thing, is trying to find out. It's one thing to watch the tape, but we need to know what these guys actually run and then go back and watch the tape and see if they play to that speed. So that's one thing I would do. I don't have a name that really just jumps off the top of my head that, you know, let's go get that guy. Maybe a Ronnie Bell from Michigan, you know, he comes to mind, fifth rounder, a lot of college production, you know, kind of that guy that can play inside, outside. He's not a burner, but he's a good possession receiver. You know, someone along those lines, someone in the fourth or fifth round, I think the Raiders could bring in to try to just add another piece to that room. Hopefully you hit a home run, you get another Hunter Renfro, a guy that just exceeds expectations, a fifth round pick. But I want to see what all these guys run this weekend in the combine, and then we'll start diving into some film on them.
For me, when I look at it, I can't help but agree, because I think that lower rounds, you have just talent there. You have this guy named Rakim Jarrett from Maryland, just an around guy. He has decent long speed. He gets up to speed quickly, but he won't cost you a whole bunch. There's a guy from
– who's the Michigan State guy that was in the Senior Bowl? Jaden Reed. Yeah, like a guy like that. Now, he might go second, third round, but maybe in the third round you take a Jaden Reed, a guy with some speed, shiftiness, that can move around, he can win outside. It's not a big physical guy, but he can play multiple positions, and he has speed.
There's a guy from who could possibly like be a day three pick, Andre Iosivas from Princeton, Ivy League guy. I've seen film, about 6'2", 215-ish, runs in the 4.27 to 4.30 category, surprisingly for a Princeton guy, where he's not going to cost a lot, but he'll give them that added option, the added necessity at wide receiver. Now, when you look at offensive line, now you were a big Peter Skoronski fan. Now, say all of the quarterbacks are gone. Is this somebody that you would possibly think of drafting?
I still go to Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback at Oregon. I really like how he moves. I like his size, I like his wingspan. You just don't see 6'2" corners with that length and those movement skills. So you're looking for special traits in defenders. And I think he has special traits just with the size-speed combination. He played pretty well at Oregon this year after transferring to Colorado. I don't know, as much as I love Skoronski, I don't know if I'm going to spend the seventh pick on a guy who's going to have to move to right tackle or move inside to left guard. Now, if the Raiders take him, I'll be okay with it, because he's going to be a really good player for a long time. I just think they need to start adding pieces that can be foundational, long-term impact pieces. And for me, in the top 10, I always look at four positions: quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher, or corner. I want one of those four. And if they believe that Skoronski can play right tackle and they want to go that route, that's fine. I want the piece on defense. And to me, it's probably Christian Gonzalez, with maybe Tyree Wilson on the outside, except you're going to have to, he's not going to get to play every down as a rookie, because you still have Chandler Jones on the roster. You're not just going to completely move on from Chandler Jones. So maybe as a long-term piece, Wilson makes sense as another edge rusher. Cause let's be honest, Chandler Jones will not be on this roster in 2024. But you're not getting as much impact in 2023 if you take an edge rusher in the top 10.
To me, when I look at this draft, I look at where the Raiders could go. They have so many picks where those middle round guys, potential starters there. You have, there's a guy, Henry Totuoto from Alabama. Not the biggest guy, but very good tackler. He to me, kind of looks like a taller Denzel Perryman type. Like, and I think the Raiders will look at him, but they need to go towards the more athletic parts of it. Speaking of, they also hired a new, well, word has it, they hired a new defensive line coach from Michigan. Now, to me, this line hasn't been the same since Brinson Buckner left. As a position coach, how important do you think a position coach is to the success of a particular unit?
I think it's very important. I think, to me, the most important coaches on the staff, besides the coordinators, are the offensive line coach and the secondary coach. Now, the defensive line coach is important because he's implementing the schemes that the coordinator wants to run. And Frank Oakham was the interior. So the Raiders are basically a 3-4 defense. So he was responsible for the down linemen, which – for the Raiders last year is basically the defensive tackles. He wasn't responsible for Max Crosby or Chandler Jones. So what kind of production did the Raiders get out of their defensive tackles? And you can go down the list. They didn't get anything from Bilal Nichols. down to Kyle Petko, Jonathan Hankins before he got moved. The development of Matthew Butler, Neil Farrell, neither one of those guys really took a hold of any sort of regular snaps. They were in and out of the game day active roster. So that position didn't do anything and didn't really develop last year. So I can see why they moved on. Now, I don't know if it was straight production results. Maybe there was a better relationship with the coach they're bringing in. But at the end of the day, the interior defensive line did not get the job done. So the Raiders decided to move on.
Correction, they hired Rob Leonard, who was the Ravens outside linebackers coach. And this was from Yahoo Sports about 25 minutes ago. Now, speaking of defensive line, do you think Jalen Carter's probable arrest will, one, change the draft order, and two, if you're the Raiders and he's still there at 7, would you draft him?
I would not. Based on the Henry Ruggs situation and everything the Raiders have gone through since moving to Las Vegas, there were whispers of makeup concerns with Jalen Carter prior to this. Now, these are misdemeanors. He has the right to his side of the story. But for all the information that came out today with the drag racing, speeding, reckless driving, a blood alcohol content from the other driver of 0.197. Now, I don't think they did a breathalyzer test on Jalen Carter because he fled the scene. If he was drunk, it makes sense why he fled the scene, but we don't know the facts yet. Plus, I heard something else that there was a speeding ticket he had gotten a few months prior to that where he was going 44 miles an hour over the speed limit. So when you start adding those together, you start adding in the environment in Las Vegas for a young athlete with a lot of money. The Raiders cannot afford to have anything go wrong off the field with their draft picks right now based on what they've done, what happened under the Gruden regime. So as talented as Jalen Carter is he the most talented player in the draft? Yes, you can argue that. I don't think the Raiders can take him at 7, even if he's there, just for PR reasons. And I know football reasons say take him, but it's going to be a really hard sell to the fan base. If he slips up at all or anything happens, it's not going to look good at all for anyone in the front office. And I just don't think that Ziegler and McDaniels are going to take chances on players that have character risks. They keep talking about smart, driven football players with football intelligence. And I think makeup and how they handle themselves is really important. And I just don't think that Las Vegas is the right environment for Jalen Carter. And I don't think it'd be fair for Jalen Carter to be put in that environment either. He needs to go somewhere where he's not going to have all the glitz and the glamour and everything that happens in Las Vegas. He needs to grow up and mature, and I don't think it's the right environment for him.
Now, how can people interact with you on social media, and what's coming up on the Put On Raiders podcast?
Yeah, they can reach out to me. It's rhome22 on Twitter. We haven't recorded the Put On Raiders podcast for a few weeks. I've been busy, but we are recording next week on Monday. We have a special guest, a former Raiders player and USC player. I'll just leave there. I'll dangle it out there. I won't give the name, but you guys can start putting them together. Played at USC, played for the Raiders. He will be on the show next week. We should be, like I said, recording that Monday. Should be out probably middle of next week. You can catch that.
Tom Marinovich. No, wait. No, that's not it.
Not Tom Marinovich.
It is definitely a must listen. Shout out to Dwayne. You guys do a fantastic job there. This has been a strong episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast.